few years ago, I bought myself a Fitbit tracker to track my steps. Maybe some of you wear one too, or something similar. They track physical activity and sleep and active minutes, and since around July 2018, I've been getting about 10,000 steps a day, which are tracked, and I can track them on my phone. And wearing this device and seeing the notifications helps me to keep walking, to keep getting my steps, because I don't want to break the streak from the day before. And I thought about this with the Fitbit, that walking is nearly, it's a near human, a universal human activity. It's something nearly all of us do every day. And because it's so common to our experience, I think that's why the Bible uses walking as a metaphor for our Christian life, for how we live out our faith. When Jesus called his first disciples, he said, "Follow me." And that literally meant walking with him and following him around and witnessing the things he did and hearing the things he taught. Scripture tells us to follow Jesus and walk in the newness of life and walk in the light and walk by faith and not by sight. We're about to enter the season of Lent on the liturgical calendar. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday before the beginning of Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, where we'll be kicking off the Lenten season. Lent is a season of penitence. It's a season where we reflect upon our sins, our mortality, our need for a Savior. And it's a season when we are invited to renew our commitment to discipleship, to walking more faithfully with Jesus. Traditionally, Christians observe Lent by either giving something up, like chocolate or something else that's pleasurable, or by engaging in a spiritual practice in a more intentional way, like Bible study or prayer. Spiritual practices help us open ourselves up to God's Spirit, that we can be inwardly transformed to become the kind of people God wants us to be, more patient, more loving, more forgiving, more generous. And this Lent, we have the opportunity to intentionally engage in several foundational practices that have helped Christians throughout the ages deepen their walk with Christ. Now, these spiritual practices don't earn us God's favor, but they open us up to the grace God has already given us. So today we're beginning a sermon series based on the book, The Walk, Five Essential Practices of the Christian Life, by pastor and speaker and writer Adam Hamilton. And he produced this book and this study to help Christians like you and me improve our Christian walk. He writes, "I wrote this book to be a simple guide for the Christian life, written for ordinary people whose faith is sometimes messy. It is written for those who wish to follow Jesus, to experience more of God in their lives, and to grow to become the people God wants them to be." There's an opportunity for all of you to go deeper with this topic. I'm going to be preaching on the subject throughout Lent, and there's also an opportunity to join with others in our adult Sunday school class at 9:30 a.m. starting next week, or you can join a community study on Sunday evenings at Newark, at First Presbyterian Church of Newark. They will be having a potluck dinner followed by a study. Those will be on the Sundays in March. So shameless plug for those opportunities. But we hope that these small groups, along with the sermon series, will encourage you to not only understand these essential practices of the Christian faith, but also practice them for yourselves and experience the transformation God has for you from those. So today we begin this series by exploring what it means to walk with Jesus, and specifically how the practices of worship and prayer help us in that walk. So we'll explore these as we begin this Lenten journey, The Walk. The Bible uses, as I said, the metaphor of walking to describe God's call for people to follow him. In Genesis 17:1, God commanded Abraham to walk with him in faith. In Deuteronomy 5:33, Moses gave the instructions to the Israelites. You must walk the precise path that the Lord your God indicates for you so that you will live and so that things will go well for you. The psalmist cries out, teach me your way, O Lord, that I can walk in your truth. Psalm 86:11. And the prophet Micah famously called the people to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. We also reviewed some passages in the New Testament where Jesus calls his disciples to follow him using the metaphor of walking with him. 1 John 1:7 says we are to walk in the light. Romans 6:4 commands Christ's followers to walk in the newness of life. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 encourages disciples to walk by faith and not sight. At the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis describes God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And in the very end of the Bible in Revelation, the vision of a restored and renewed heavens and earth includes God walking with his people and the nations walking in the light of Christ. The metaphor of walking is intentional. It implies that our faith is dynamic and alive. It's moving. It's not static or stationary. We should be actively moving and growing in our Christian faith. Walking implies we're on a journey. The life of faith is one of continual growth and maturity, and none of us have arrived yet. One day we'll reach our destination, but until then, there is still ground to cover. We're saved by grace, a gift we don't earn, but living out that grace is a daily active practice. Thus, the metaphor of walking. So how do we improve our Christian walk? One way Christians have grown in their spiritual walk is the regular, consistent practice of spiritual habits that open them up to God's grace to transform them. Just like physical exercise helps our bodies become stronger physically, become more flexible and better functioning, so spiritual practices strengthen our spiritual walk with Christ, making our faith stronger and more flexible and healthier in our relationship to God and one another. Adam Hamilton describes a time in his life when he was physically out of shape. It was negatively affecting his health, and it made him hard to enjoy the quality of life that he wanted, particularly his ability to keep up with his young, energetic granddaughter. So he started an exercise regimen, beginning with just 7 minutes a day, and gradually increased it to 14 minutes, and then 21 minutes, and then made dietary changes. And then over time, with all of these habits he was employing, his health improved, and he was able to experience fewer negative health symptoms, and he had more energy, and slept better, and had more stamina to play with his granddaughter. And Hamilton's regular practice of getting more physical exercise improved his overall health and quality of life. And Hamilton compares his exercise regimen with his spiritual practices in the Christian walk. He writes, spiritual health is not dissimilar to physical health. Without spiritual exercises or practices, we find it difficult to keep up as Christ calls us to follow. We become spiritually lethargic and out of shape. We stray from God's path. Temptation is harder to resist. We don't evidence the fruit of the Spirit. We exhibit less patience, kindness, mercy, and love. God seems more distant and our faith more perfunctory. We worry more and trust God less. Our thoughts revolve more around ourselves. Our values and priorities shift away from the things God values and prioritizes for us. But the good news is, even if we feel out of shape spiritually, we can get stronger and improve our walk with God by engaging in spiritual practices. Hamilton reflects, as my physical health increased using the short workouts, I extended my workouts and increased my goals. The same will happen with your pursuit of spiritual exercises. Here's what I can promise. When pursued daily, the These practices will increase your spiritual health, deepen your faith, make you more aware of God's presence, and help you live the Christian life. So what are these spiritual practices that help us grow stronger in our walk with Christ? There are many, but Hamilton identifies several key practices that have been used by Christians over the ages to help them grow in their faith. Worship, prayer, and study, and service, giving, and sharing our faith have all been used by Christians throughout the ages to grow in their walk with Christ. And we're going to be exploring each of these in more detail over the next few weeks. But today we're going to focus on worship and prayer and how these practices strengthen our spiritual life. Worship is a central practice of our Christian faith. The weekly worship service is the main event, so to speak, in the life of our church. We gather to worship God. Worship comes from the English word worth, meaning ascribing worth to something. In worship, we're ascribing worth to God, reflecting upon all God's attributes and all the blessings God has poured out upon us. Corporate worship services on Sunday mornings are the main way that we practice worship. The weekly worship gathering strengthens our faith corporately, and without this weekly experience of worship together, we lose our connection to God and to one another. Hamilton uses this analogy to describe the importance of weekly worship. He says, "My cell phone can hold a charge for about 10 hours. If I forget to recharge it overnight, it's literally useless the next day. It turns into a very expensive paperweight. Our souls, like phones, need recharging. When we come together in worship, we are plugged into the source of our spiritual power. In the midst of giving thanks and praying and praising and opening our hearts to God, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. When we gather together, we lay our burdens before God. We ask and receive his mercy, and we're filled anew by his Spirit. We hear his word, our marching orders for life. We feast at the table of the Lord's Supper, and we leave renewed and inspired and ready to serve God and serve others for another week. The Sunday morning corporate worship service is the main way we practice worship, but worship doesn't have to just happen on Sundays. We have opportunities to worship throughout the week on our own. We can worship God by ourselves or with our families. We can also make our everyday lives an act of worship. Whatever we do, even the mundane, routine activities, if we do these with an awareness of God's presence, expressing praise and gratitude to God, we are engaging in worship. Indeed, our whole lives can be expressions of worship. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the main purpose of human beings' lives is to glorify God and enjoy God's presence forever. Cultivating a spirit of worship enables us to do just that. So worship is a key spiritual practice whenever we gather corporately to worship or whether we do so in the routines of our everyday lives. Worship goes hand in hand with prayer. Prayer is basically talking to God, sharing with God all that is on our minds and hearts. Prayer is also listening to God and being still in God's presence. Prayer involves praising God and giving thanks to God. Prayer also involves confessing our sins and receiving God's forgiveness. Prayer involves asking God for things, for ourselves and for others. Prayer also involves what Hamilton refers to as yielding, offering ourselves to God and inviting God to use us to fulfill his mission in the world. Just as we pray corporately in worship, we can also pray on our own. Last fall, we did a study of the Lord's Prayer, how it can serve as a model for our private prayer lives as well as we pray it in corporate worship. But Hamilton offers another helpful model for structuring our daily prayer, and it's as close as your hand. So I invite you to take your hand now and make a fist if you're able to. Hamilton says this represents our gathering together in worship. We're all gathered together when we corporately pray together. Now open your fist and extend your fingers. This represents your own personal prayer on your own, and the five fingers can help you remember the five main aspects of prayer: praise, thanksgiving, confession, petition, and yielding. So you can use your hand as this model of prayer in your daily prayer practice. When engaging in spiritual practices, it's important to do so in the big context of God's kingdom vision for humankind. As I said earlier, today is Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday, the day on the liturgical calendar when we commemorate Jesus taking his inner circle of three disciples, James, Peter, and John, taking them up on the mountaintop where he transfigures before them. Many scholars believe that Jesus is giving his inner circle this vision of his resurrection glory. He's giving them a foretaste of what God has in store for all creation after Jesus' resurrection. It is this vision of glory, of light, of victory over sin and death, of triumph over all that stands opposed to God and God's purposes for creation. This vision would help sustain them through the dark, difficult days of Jesus' suffering on the cross. It would also give them a framework to begin to understand God's redemptive plans when Jesus rises from the dead. Spiritual experiences like the Transfiguration are powerful. They can shape our faith and provide key markers to help us see God at work in our lives. Perhaps you've had a powerful spiritual experience at some point in your life. However, most of us may never experience something as dramatic as the Transfiguration. We may never have such a tangible experience of God's presence. These spiritual experiences may be nice to have, but they don't sustain our everyday walk with God. The Transfiguration was no doubt powerful for Peter, James, and John, and likely stuck with them and encouraged them along the way. But their daily faith was not sustained by this vision, powerful as it was. Their faith was sustained by practicing their faith together through spiritual practices and community with other followers of Jesus. We see this in the life of the early church, how the early Christians gathered together and practiced all these things together, and it sustained their faith and helped them to grow. The Transfiguration experience gives us a big picture of God's redemptive vision, but it's the daily spiritual practices that sustain our faith and gives us the spiritual resources to do the work God calls us to do. We have a vision in Scripture of what God's ultimate kingdom looks like, but we've not seen this vision fully come to pass. As we've said before, we're living in this already not yet dynamic, where the kingdom's already here but not fully perfected. And we have this Transfiguration vision recorded in Scripture to give us a picture of what is to come when God's kingdom comes in fullness. But this powerful spiritual vision, the spiritual experience alone, cannot sustain our faith. We need regular practice of spiritual habits to strengthen us in our Christian walk and make us into the kind of people God desires us to be, so we can be faithful in our Christian walk on the long haul. The measure of the Christian life is not in the extraordinary spiritual experiences God gives us, powerful as they may be, but our Christian life is measured in our day-to-day walk with Christ. As we practice these spiritual habits, we will find that over time, we will grow more to be like Christ and help others grow to be more like Christ as well. So this Lent, I invite you to join me on the walk and make the intention to deepen your faith with Christ and practice these spiritual habits. And as you do, I trust that God will work in and through them to make you more like Jesus, make you more the kind of person God desires you to be. And as we all grow together as a body, we will become a spiritual powerhouse in our community, reflecting the light of Christ's love to those around us. So friends, let us take this walk together this Lenten season. I invite you to join me and let's see what God does as we walk with God more closely this Lent. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.